Vaishnavi Namo Namaha. So baseball is considered the national pastime of America, and I guess cricket is the national pastime of India, right? So we can see that people enjoy hitting objects with bats and clubs, and we can understand that that propensity comes from Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, because this is their original sporting leela. We see the reflection of that material world that people also enjoy these sports, as does the Lord. Any questions? Okay. Let's talk about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Srupaya Rupanuga Varayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda, who is the transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa. So, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great Vaishnava in our line. He's the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, the spiritual master of our guru, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So he is our great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather, depending on where you are in the siblic succession. And of course, an absolutely exemplary acharya in our line. He exhibited the highest standards of a pure devotee while within household life. He was in household life for many, many years as a magistrate, and at the same time, he carried on the preaching work of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a prolific writer, wrote over 100 books and literary works. He's the author of many Vaishnava songs, the songbooks of Sharanagati, Kitavali, etc. He is attributed for discovering the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was a vigorous preacher of Krishna consciousness. He turned the tide of atheism, sahajiism, and Brahminicalism, you could say, or Brahmanism, to Vaishnavism. And he established Vaishnavism as a prominent, respected philosophy throughout India. So we'll talk a little about some of those ideas today, as well as his life. Srila Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born September 2nd, 1838, in the village of Birnagar, which is in the Nadia district of West Bengal. He was the third son of Ananda Chandra Dutta and Jagat Mohini Devi. Those were his parents. He was named Kedarnath as a boy, which is the name of Lord Shiva. And he lived until he left this world on our calendar is June 23rd, 1914. And of course, from the Vaishnava calendar, that is today. So about 102 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left this planet. No. 101 years ago. So last year was the 100th anniversary of his disappearance. In the 1800s in Bengal, Vaishnavism was in great disrespect. In fact, in some of the biographies, it said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to read Chaitanya Charitamrita to understand Lord Chaitanya, and it took him many, many years, someplace says 8 years, to even find a Chaitanya Charitamrita in print. So you can imagine, you know, the complete disarray and disrespect of Vaishnavism as it was here in the birthplace, in the home of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates. He was completely gone. Religion and philosophy was predominated by Brahmanism, impersonalism, and Sahajiism. So Bhaktivinoda reestablished Vaishnava religion, and he worked and preached vigorously throughout his life, converting many, many people to become devotees. So I mentioned he established over 500 Namahata groups of people in towns and villages who would hold programs, chant Hare Krishna, worship the Lord, much as we do today. In fact, the inspiration for all of our Harinams and Bhakta Vriksha groups and all of that was simply a reestablishment of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's plan. So, I mean, the things that we are doing, we're trying to follow in the footsteps of our great acharyas. And if Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this wonderful plan of the Namahatas, he called it the marketplace of the holy name and establishing the chanting of the holy name throughout the world, you know, through establishing groups all over. This is certainly a plan that we've found is also successful today. So he led the world he led the way in the idea of worldwide preaching of Krishna consciousness. not just in India. Of course, he worked in India, but he had, of course, the greater vision. He also knew that he needed help. He couldn't do this job alone, so he prayed for a ray of Vishnu to come and help him. And of course, that ray of Vishnu was his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And of course, following Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada came to help manifest the desire and the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm going to read just a short thing. This is an appreciation by Srila Prabhupada. It comes from a lecture on Akshaya Gaur Purnima, 1969. It's interesting that in his Gaur Purnima lecture, he mostly talked about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And even in the introduction to the teaching, is it the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Or now where is that? Where is the whole life of Bhakti? Yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Yeah, in the whole introduction before the Srimad Bhagavatam is this very, very long section on the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So obviously, Srila Prabhupada saw his pivotal place in the history of our preaching movement. So this is from Srila Prabhupada. By Lord Chaitanya's desire, we have come in the same line of disciplic succession. What was taught by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896, that these teachings of Lord Chaitanya should be spread in the Western countries, by chance or coincidence, it is now happening. We should take it for granted. He also, I've condensed this, Prabhupada mentioned he was also born in 1896, the same year that, of course, the first book of the teachings, the life and principles of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the Western world at McGill University in Toronto. We should take it for granted that whatever is happening at the present moment by my humble endeavor is all by the grace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Practically, this Chaitanya movement was restarted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We should take it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the origin of the Krishna conscious movement in its pure form. Bhaktivinoda wrote almost 100 books. Just imagine, he was a very responsible officer, a magistrate, and he was a grihastha, also had many children. Altogether, he had 10 children, and he had to take care of children, the office of magistrate, and extra religious work. He was made superintendent of the temple of Jagannath because the government knew that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very highly advanced religious person. Whenever there was some religious question, he was consulted. In spite of all these responsibility as officer or family man with so many children, he executed his family life very nicely, or else how could he have produced such a child such as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? At the same time, he served the Supreme Lord in so many ways. That is the beauty. He has written so many books in spite of cumbersome duties. In this way, he wrote hundreds of books, some published, some in the course of being published. All of this possible because he was a sincere, faithful servant. To write so many books with so many responsibilities for an ordinary magistrate is not possible. But because he was sincere, he got the strength from the Supreme Lord. So everything about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life is exemplary. Even as a magistrate, he was highly successful. We'll read about that later. How he was, and he was very much respected by the English government because of his great skill. He was educated in English schools as well as in Sanskrit. As we said, he had 10 children. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was his fifth child. And he actually resided in many places. He transferred several times, Calcutta, Jagannath Puri, Krishnanagar. Sometimes he requested transfers even to smaller posts like Krishnanagar because of his desire to be near the birthplace, the home of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to carry on his preaching work. He was initiated by a very nice devotee, Bipin Bihari Goswami. He's not exactly in our disciplic line, because he later accepted Jagannath Das Babaji as his Shiksha Guru. So our disciplic line actually shows Jagannath Das Babaji as the predecessor guru to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But, you know, so we can see how important this line of Shiksha is as well, because he wasn't his initiating guru, but he was the guru that he took primary instruction from. I wanted to, you probably heard this before, but I always find it interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daily schedule. This is how he did everything he did. Between 7:30 and 8 p.m., he would go to bed. And then he would rise just before 10 p.m. Two and a half hours of sleep there. He would write books until 4 a.m. So he wrote from 10 at night till 4 in the morning. You know, of course, Srila Prabhupada had a similar schedule, right? He would take rest and get up about midnight, 1 a.m., and he would write, you know, until morning, because that's when you can get work done and nobody bothers you, right? At 4:30 a.m., he would wash his hands and face, sit down and chant on his beads. He would chant his japa then. At 7 a.m., he answered all correspondence. At 7:30 a.m., read various religious and philosophical works. 8:30 a.m., he received visitors, if any, or else he continued to read until 9:30. Very solid morning program. At that time, he would walk back and forth on the veranda of his house, contemplating different religious questions and solving them in his mind. He would rest briefly from 9:30 a.m. to 9:45 a.m., took a whole 15-minute nap then, take bath and breakfast, which usually consisted of a half a quart of milk, two chapatis, and some fruit. At 9, look how regulated he is. At 9:55 a.m., the Thakur would don his uniform and leave for court in his carriage. The lawyers and Englishmen were astounded by the Thakur's capacity for work. At 10 a.m., court began. He would hear between 30 and 50 cases per day, yet he finished by 1 p.m. Today in India, they finish 30 cases per year, I think. You know, it's like, you know, I'm serious. I read, actually, this is a little aside. I read that the average case takes something like 17 years to finish in India now. Seriously, I read that. So, anyway, they didn't have Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the bench, obviously, knocking those out. What took other magistrates 1/2 hour, he finished in 5 minutes. He took another 2 minutes to write the judgment in detail. What a mind, what intelligence. At 1 p.m. he went home, refreshed himself, and returned to work from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Every evening after his court duties, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would translate Sanskrit religious works into Bengali by dictating it to a secretary. Then there was evening bath and meal consisting of a little rice, two chapatis, another half quart of milk. So very austere, very regulated, didn't eat or sleep very much, and spent, you know, he actually put in a full day of work from 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and spent hours and hours writing books and doing his hearing and chanting. His literary contributions were enormous. He wrote throughout his life. His biggest production was somehow between 1892 and 93. He published many, many of his books. Some of his books are Jayavadharma, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, Prema Pradipa, and Manasa Shiksha. He also wrote Sri Krishna Samhita, Tattva Satram, Tattva Viveka, and Datta Kashu, for those of you who want to keep up on his writings. And of course, he wrote from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote an Amrita Prabhava Bhashya commentary. So he wrote a full commentary on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also wrote, a lot of these were in Bengali, but he also wrote in English. In 1869, he wrote the Bhagavad, its philosophy, its ethics, and theology, which is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam in English. He wrote Sri Chaitanya, his life and precepts in English. And in 1896, that was the book that he sent to McGill University in Toronto. I don't know if it was still there, if anybody found it or not. But at any rate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very concerned and interested in the same way that Bhaktisiddhanta was, is to being able to be philosophically fluent in English, you know, because the English were in control at that time, and the English had the power and the respect. So if you were conversant and fluent in English, you know, and you could actually show them, convince them of this very deep and wonderful philosophy in the English language, that would be very powerful as well. And he had the idea that this message of Lord Chaitanya would not just stay in India, but would go to the Western world. So he was preparing for that. He was a great songwriter on top of everything else. Think of the wonderful songs. He wrote Sharanagati, Gita Mali, and Gitavali. These were his compilations of songs. I was just thinking of looking through some of the well-known songs that we sing all the time by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Gaur Arctic song, Hariharaya Namaha, Yashomati Nandana, Vibhavari Shesha, the Boga Artik song, Gurudev, Gopinath, Manasadeha Geha, and the list goes on. And an amazing, amazing songwriter on top of everything else he did. And, not to finish there, he discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, in Mayapur. The story is that he saw a vision one day, and a light. He was, where was he staying then? Across the river? There, right across the Jalungi? You know, and so he saw across there a light and a vision over the yoga pit, what's now that we know as the yoga pit. But he did extensive study and research, and he got information from all the local Vaishnavas, and he finally determined that this was the spot. So to confirm it, he took his guru, Jagannathas Babaji, who at that time was 120 years old. He was quite crippled and arthritic, so they had to carry him in a basket, right? You all heard? So they carried Jagannathas Babaji in the basket to the spot. Jagannathas Babaji, 120 years old and crippled, jumped up in the air and confirmed, yes, this is the birthplace, the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to build a temple there, and he said he personally begged money from every house in Calcutta to construct the temple there. I'm going to read something. This is Bhaktivinoda's prediction. This is Bhaktivinoda's vision that he had of worldwide preaching of Harinam. In his monthly Vaishnav journal, Sajjan Toshini, he wrote, Sriman Mahaprabhu did not descend with his associates to deliver a certain number of human beings in the land of India, but rather his purpose was to deliver and uplift all living beings in all countries of the world by practicing the eternal religion of all souls. He quoted from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prithvi Parijanti Tadachi Deshigram Sarvatra Sanchara Hoibek Horanam. My name will be preached in all the countries and towns that exist throughout the world, Chaitanya Bhagavat. He then prayerfully invoked the Lord and expressed this heartfelt desire. There are many kinds of religion in the world, and among all of them, the highest development of religion is the congregational chanting of the Supreme Lord's divine names. Of this there is no doubt. Alas, when will that day come when all the greatly fortunate souls in countries such as England, France, Russia, Prussia, and America will take up the banners, kettle drums, mridangas, and kartels, and thus cause the ecstatic waves of Harinam Kirtan and the singing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name to rise in the streets of their towns and cities. Oh, when will that day come when pure and transcendental Vaishnav Prema will be the only religion of all souls, and all tiny sectarian religions will meet in the unlimited and universal religion of Vaishnavism as rivers merge into the great ocean. Oh, when will that day come? I found that very beautiful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, was poetic and a wonderful writer and a wonderful speaker, as well as having this incredible deep spiritual vision. So he had the spiritual vision of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And he never had a narrow sectarian idea that this is just for Hindus or just for Indians. No, but he understood the need to take this Harinam Sankirtan throughout the world. Well, no class on Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be complete without at least one pastime. And of course, one of our all-time favorites is the pastime of Bhishakshena. Bhishakshena, of course, was the incarnation of Mahavishnu proclaimed, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to take care of this rascal. Okay. Kind of a little bit long, so I tried to edit the best I could without, you know, losing the story. Among a sect called Atabari Sampradaya, there are some evil-minded people who attempt to imitate Chaitanya or Brahma, and some who imitate Baladeva or Krishna. One person was known as Bhishakshena, a scoundrel who developed a little yogic power. He was thought to be Mahavishnu himself. The yogi established a temple in a jungle near the village of Shraddhadaipur, and as he exhibited many mystic potencies, numerous people came to serve him. It was predicted in a concocted scripture of the Atabaris there'd be a battle on the 14th of Chaitra, March and April, and then Mahavishnu would then reveal his forearm form. This news was spread throughout the villages. The yogi sent out a circular announcing that Bhagavan Mahavishnu, who descended as Bhishakshena, would deliver India from the hands of the Europeans by killing them all. Now that aroused a little interest in the English, as you can imagine. It's interesting, he had to send out a circular, though, you know, announcing himself as the incarnation. He also began to exhibit miracles to impress people. He would sit erect in front of a fire and lean into the flames for some time and return to the erect position without injury. He could read people's mind, instantly cure diseased persons, and manifest fire from his head. Must be God if he can put his head on fire. Living in the jungle, not far from Bhuvaneshwar, he established a temple using funds that certain of the intimidated kings of Orissa had sent at his request. Some of the kings and villagers even sent women for his pleasure when he announced he would hold a Rasa dance in which he would exhibit his soul's supremacy and power over all women. Complete rascal. When he actually had sexual relations with the wives of leading citizens of an Orissan town called Ringagarpur, it created an outcry amongst the husbands and other leaders, and they took their case to the government officials. After hearing from the leaders of Ringagarpur, the English District Commissioner decided to entrust the case to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for a thorough investigation. The case was very sensitive. Vishakhishena had gathered a large following of sympathizers, and he was seen as a potential threat to the security of the region, possibly capable of fomenting a local revolution. The Thakur set out with the district superintendent, the chief of police, and a few constables. In the evening, just at sunset, the Thakur entered the jungle where the yogi was staying near the village of Shardaipur. Many sick people had come to be cured by him and were glorifying him as an incarnation of God. Upon the arrival of the Thakur, the yogi rose and questioned him, "O Babu, I know you are a Bengali and a magistrate. Why have you come here in this dark night?" Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, "I have come to see you." He rejoined, "That being the case, please sit down and hear my teachings. I am Mahavishnu, arising from the ocean of milk. I have come to this place, and very soon I will destroy all the Europeans, including the King of England. I have proclaimed this everywhere." Exhibiting his mystic powers, the yogi began to describe everything about Thakur Bhaktivinoda in detail, mentioning his name, mission, etc., and warned him not to try to interfere with them. He revealed that he knew full well about the men that the Thakur had brought with him who were hiding amongst the trees. The next day, the Thakur traveled to the villages in the region to gather reports from the people. In some villages, he heard praise, but others were angry about the yogi's affairs with married women, and were anxious that this fever of attraction to the yogi might spread to the women of their own villages and result in scandal and humiliation. Thereafter, the Thakur gave the order to arrest the yogi, and seeing his men fearful, he personally led them, bringing with him two police officers, a police superintendent, and over 100 armed policemen. They arrived in the early morning hours, a sacrificial fire was burning, and 1,000 followers were present. Many were offering prayers to the yogi. The Thakur and the policeman appeared on the perimeter of the crowd. When the yogi followers saw the red-turbaned policemen armed with rifles and bayonets, many of them began to flee. I guess not quite depending on the protection of Mahavishnu. News was quickly spread to the villages. The government had sent an army to arrest the avatar of God. Vishakhishena sat observing all this calmly. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached him. There was a short silence. "Babu, what is the meaning of all of this?" "They have come to take you. It is the governor's order. You should be brought to Puri," replied the Thakur. "Who is this governor? I am the king. I am the supreme Godhead, master of the universe. I down before no one. Let me see who is able to take me away from this place. If you do not go peacefully, we will be obliged to take you away by force," Thakur said sternly. Anyway, a little confrontation there. Vishakhishena started shooting fire from his hair. And a lot of the policemen were frightened, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unmoved. They finally put him in a bullock cart and took him away to Puri. Now he has to go to trial. Vishakhishena fasted from both food and water and did not sleep at all. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur repeatedly requested him to eat and gave him valuable spiritual instructions, but Vishakhishena would not hear them. During the pretrial period, many Orissan people took up a collection and hired a lawyer to defend him in court. The trial lasted 18 days. It was held in the district court of Puri. Almost 1,000 of the yogi's followers gathered outside the courthouse during the trial, shouting, demanding his release. At the completion of the 6 days' hearing, Vishakhishena ominously threatened the Thakur. Babu, you must immediately desist from prosecuting me, or everything you have will be destroyed. Go to your home now and see what disaster is taking place there. When he arrived at his home, he found his second daughter, 7-year-old Kadambini, afflicted with some deadly disease and high fever, repeatedly losing consciousness. Loud sounds of lamentation filled the house, but the Thakur did not fail in his determination, for he knew that the Lord would protect him from the insignificant powers of this yogi. Many doctors came to attend his daughter, and by 8 o'clock in the morning, she was well, playing in the courtyard. Thakur's wife, Srimati Bhagavati Devi, became very anxious for the safety of the children, and she pleaded with her husband to let him go, let Bishakishena go, before he destroyed their whole family. "Yes, let us all die," Thakur replied, "but this rascal must be punished." On the 17th day of the trial, when the court rose for recess, Bishakishena stood up and screamed violently at the Thakur. "Do you not see what great calamity occurred at your house the other day? Still you're not coming to your senses. When will you be able to recognize me? The final day of judgment will be your death." Now death sits on the seat of judgment and gives out his commands. "I will see." When Thakur Bhaktivinoda returned home late in the afternoon of that day, he took off his court clothes, and all of a sudden he felt a sharp pain on the right side of his chest. As the night went on, the pain increased. The Thakur was unshaken in his determination, but it was unclear how he'd be able to enter the court in such a condition to give final judgment. In the morning, the severe pain persisted. Finally, by 10 a.m., he felt a slight subsiding of the pain, and he was ready to write the judgment. He was unable to walk and had to be carried on a palanquin. On that final day, 1,000 of the yogi's followers again gathered in front of the courthouse and created a terrific din. Inside, the trial ensued. The Thakur's decision was announced. Bishakishena is found guilty of political conspiracy against the National British Indian Government as well as the state government of Orissa, and is therefore sentenced to 18 months of strict imprisonment and hard labor. Bishakishena was led away from the court, and suddenly the district medical officer, Dr. Walters, interesting in English, officer, jumped on the rascal from behind and cut off his long hair with a large pair of scissors. The English officer had come to know from his studies of yoga that yogis often conserve their power in their hair. As soon as the matted locks of Bishakishena were cut, he fell on the floor, devoid of all power, unable to walk. The pain in the body of the Thakur vanished, and the yogi was removed from the courtroom on a stretcher. When his followers saw that God had been overcome by having his hair removed, most of them deserted him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur recalls in his biography, when his hair was cut, his followers said that he was a cheater and they left him. The Thakur walked home peacefully. Bishakishena was held in the Puri jail for 3 months, transferred to the central jail in Medinapur, and in 1873, while still in prison, he took poison and died. And that was the end of Mahavishnu. So a very wonderful story. All glories to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, we should probably, any quick question or points? A couple there, go ahead, Radhadamani.
University of Montreal, and reading that many years later, a devotee went and stole that book, and Mother Janava, who lives here, asked for it and was given it, and she keeps that book. She's shown it to me many times.
Oh, she has that book?
She has that very book. It looks practically new.
Really?
And it's dated way back to 1800 something.
I guess it should be in the archives or something. Right? Anyway, Janmashtami.
When Bhakti Raghava Swami started the Namahata in Mayapur, they discovered in the villages a lot of these Namahata programs that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had started. It was pretty amazing.
They were still continuing?
They kept going.
Like for 100 years practically?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And one question that occurs to me, if he started 500 Namahata groups, how could he possibly have done that? I mean,
totally empowered, you know. Well, you know, of course, you know, he writes about, you know, he's got a whole book on it, on the establishment of Namahata, and I think, you know, he had district manager. I mean, you know, it was all kind of in sales terms, so, I mean, I think he had many people working in a whole system. I think he had a whole organization, you know, to keep it together. He was very, very organized. You know, he was a magistrate. He had that kind of mind to plan things, and, you know, and that was his great leadership. All glories to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.